Now, I don't know about you, but I love food. Can I get an amen? Preach it, brother.
I love food a little too much.
I eat too much and I eat too often, and at least once a year I come around to this point where I feel like I need to go on a diet. That's a bad word, I know. I shouldn't say that in church. I feel like I need to go on a diet, and I jump on one of those bandwagon kind of diets. I go on the Zone or Weight Watchers, Nutrisystem. You've all heard of these bad diets that are supposedly help you to lose 20 pounds in 2 weeks or whatever they claim. Never does seem to work quite as well as they advertise. But when I was in college, I worked in a health food store, and it was at a time, it was early 2000s, when the Atkins diet was big. I never went on the Atkins diet, but you remember the Atkins diet? The Atkins diet, it was supposed to be that you could eat whatever you want as long as it was protein or fat-based. You could eat all the steaks, the hamburgers, the eggs, the cheese, the butter, all of that you wanted. Fill yourself up on that, and you won't be hungry. And yet your body will still burn fat, you will lose weight, it'll just fly off your body. This was the Atkins diet claim to fame. You can lose weight and not be hungry. Of course, who wouldn't want to eat a dozen eggs and a pound of bacon every day? Doesn't that sound appealing to everybody? Yeah, well, at first it maybe sounds good, but after a while I think you get tired of all of that. Now think of all that you can eat on the Atkins diet. No carbohydrates. I mean, you can't even have fruit, vegetables, ice cream. And you cannot eat bread. Bread. How simple is that? It's bread. You can't eat bread on the Atkins diet. That's amazing to me. I think my diet it revolves around eating bread. Bread is an important staple in my diet. It probably is in yours as well. Now, granted, Jesus says in Luke chapter 4 that man does not live on bread alone, but I ask the question, can man live without bread? I'm not sure that this man could. It's amazing, you know, you go to a restaurant and they plop down that loaf of bread in front of you, and you just sit down and you devour this. I devour that thing. It's bread. It's a staple. It's something we all need. We need our daily bread. But today's scripture is not so much about our daily bread as it is about the bread of life. Bread that will endure. Bread that will not leave us hungry again. Bread that will last not only this lifetime, but will last into the lifetime to come. So I want to jump into our scripture, and I want to lift out three, maybe we'll make it two, because I do smell that food and cooking next door. Two different points. The wrong reason to hunger. Sharing the bread. And if we have time, appreciating the bread. And we're going to start with the wrong reason to hunger. Can you hear me all right? Do I need to be turned up? Do I need to yell louder? Well, we're going to start with the wrong reason to share, the wrong reason to hunger for bread. If we look at our scripture in context, if we look at the chapter that comes before, we see that this is a line of events that began a few weeks ago whenever Jesus fed the 5,000 people out of 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. He fed the multitudes of the people. And now Jesus and his disciples, they've gotten into a boat. Actually, Jesus met them halfway across the Sea of Galilee. He met them on foot by walking on water. And they went to the other side of the sea, and the people just followed him. They came looking for him, looking to find this Jesus one more time. And Jesus recognizes them, and they're asking Jesus, "Hey, how did you get here? We know there wasn't a boat over there. How did you arrive?" And he replies to them in verse 26. He says, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." Jesus is calling them out. But you're not after the power that I have. You're not after me to worship me or to elevate me as Lord and Savior. You're after me because you got something free to eat. You filled your bellies for nothing. And you want more. These people are coming after Jesus because they're asking this fundamental question, what's in it for me? And there's a problem with that. In the 17th century, there was a philosopher slash mathematician known as Blaise Pascal. And you may know Pascal because of his triangle. Everybody knows Pascal's triangle, right? Yeah, it's strange. I don't pretend to understand it myself. It's some sort of a setup of multiplication tables that you can use. He's known for that. I don't know him for that. What I do know him for is this Pascal guy. He made a wager known as Pascal's Wager. And in Pascal's Wager, he said, it's better to believe in God and to be wrong than to not believe in God and be wrong. He said that if you die believing in God and it turns out that you are incorrect, you're out nothing. But if you die and you didn't believe in God, well, you're out a lot. And I agree with Pascal. He's right about that. But the thing that I don't like about Pascal's wager is that he is reducing Christianity to what's in it for me. He's not offering anything of his self, of anything of his being. He's not sacrificing anything at all for God. He's just saying, I'll believe in you if there's something in it for me. And it sounds a lot like those people that were following Jesus asking that same question. What's in it for me? And the truth is, as Christians, there is a lot in it for us. We have everything to gain. We have a chance to gain fellowship with God, fellowship with other Christians. We have a chance to gain eternal life. We have a chance to gain fulfillment and purpose in life. But it's not about what's in it for me. The question about Christianity comes down to, yes, there's everything to gain, but it's not about what I can get. It's about giving our all to God. So Jesus is getting frustrated. These people are coming to him. They're asking these questions. They're saying, what can I get from you, Jesus? Give us more food. And Jesus says, hey, you're just after me because you think that I'm a free meal ticket. But I've got something more to give you. And that brings me to my second point. Sharing of the bread. If we look at the next verses in our scripture, from verse 27 through, say, 35, Jesus spends a lot of time breaking it down. He's addressing what the people are there for, what they're after, and what he truly has to offer them. And he spends a little bit of time talking about this physical bread that they really want. He says, this physical bread that you see, it has a short shelf life. Try saying it. Yeah, I know. A short shelf life. It spoils easily. It's gone tomorrow if you don't eat it today. The bugs will get into it. The humidity will ruin it. Bread doesn't last. And if you do get a chance to eat it, you're going to be hungry again in a few hours. He's saying, yeah, that's really important, the bread, the daily bread that you need. But what's truly important is something that I have to offer, and we'll call it the bread of life. And that bread of life is me. Come to me, seek me as your Lord and Savior, and you will be given so much more than physical daily bread. You'll be given bread that will last forever. So he holds these two things in contrast. Physical bread that will leave you hungry, and the bread of life which will endure forever. And Jesus says, choose the better of the two. And as I look at those two options, I don't have any problem with looking at that and saying, duh, I will choose the one that will endure forever. I have no problem with saying this is the better of the two and that we should all choose the bread of life if we have to choose between physical bread and the bread of life that will endure. Now, what I don't want you to do is what so many people have done in Christian realms, and that is to say, well, if the physical bread that we have to give to other people will not endure, if it's only temporal, then why bother giving it to those in need? Is it not more important to save souls than it is to feed the hungry, if they're just going to get hungry again? What good is that if they're going to die and go to hell eventually? Well, I understand that line of argument, and I agree that if it is more important to give the bread of life and to give the bread that will not satisfy long term. But I believe that we are setting up a false dichotomy that does not exist in the Bible. When the people come to Jesus and they ask him for physical bread, he doesn't say, no, I'm going to just tell you about saving you from your sins because your physical hunger doesn't really matter. If we look at the scripture in context, it's really quite interesting. that we find this scripture about being the bread of life, and I'll use a bit of a pun here so you can remember it. This story about Jesus being the bread of life is sandwiched between these two stories, the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000. If you look at Matthew or Mark's Gospels, it lies between those two events. Obviously, Jesus isn't saying, don't worry about people's physical needs just because this other bread is better. He's balancing both. Both are important. Jesus also teaches his disciples to pray. And he tells them, pray, give us this day our daily bread. And two of the most clear examples of what Jesus, when Jesus lays out the story of salvation, when he talks about who will and will not be entering into God's kingdom, he tells the story about Lazarus and the rich man. Lazarus was a poor man that laid at the gates of this rich guy. Lazarus had these sores on his body. He couldn't feed himself. He didn't have medical care, and the dogs licked his sores while this rich man was living it up inside. And both of these two men, they died on the same day. Lazarus went to heaven, and this rich man went to be punished. And the rich man said, God, just let Lazarus dip his finger in water to touch it to my tongue to relieve me of this pain and agony. And his petition was to die. This rich man said, well, let me go and tell my family. And again, he was denied. You see, it's still very important that we offer daily bread as well as the bread of life. And we also know the story of the sheep and the goats. When Jesus separates out the people one side and the other, and to one group he says, you may enter into the kingdom of God because you fed the hungry, you clothed the naked, you cared for those who were oppressed, visited those who were in prison. And to the other group he says, no, you're going to inherit eternal punishment. So I hope when we look at these examples, we can see that Jesus holds these two, what we make separate issues, very much together as one. It's very much important for Jesus that we give not only the daily bread that people need, but also the bread of life, which will endure forever. And that's one reason why I was really glad to hear what Rodney had to say that he and Lindsay are doing in Jamaica. They're holding a balance between providing physical bread, daily bread, and the bread of life. They will be accepting Jesus' call to his disciples from Matthew 28 to go forth and preach the gospel to all nations by picking up their family and moving to Jamaica. And while they're there, they will be teaching trades. They will be helping people to learn how to provide for themselves to be able to get a job so that their bellies too can be filled. Because it is just as important, it is still important that we provide for those in need, but we also provide the bread of life that all people need. I spoke to my mom the other day, and my mom is on a board of leaders in a local food pantry that's at Crown Hill Mennonite Church in Ohio. Church of about 100 people. And my mom shared with me, she said, Kevin, you know, in the last year we went from basically just beginning to this past weekend, they served 700 people that were in need. I didn't know there were 700 people in rural Wayne County, Ohio myself, but everybody seemed to find out about this place where they could come to receive daily bread. But it's not just daily bread that people are receiving there. They're receiving the bread of life. They are always given the option of receiving a free Bible whenever they buy there or whenever they pick up their food for free. They're always given an opportunity to have somebody pray for them. People have invited them to church, and some have come. And this one woman said to my mother, she said, if I had known that Christians were like this, I would have become one a long time ago. That's powerful. We should not dichotomize these two things, this giving the bread of life and the daily bread. Jesus took these things together, unified them as one, and sent the disciples out to fulfill this mission. So I think I'm going to go ahead and jump past my appreciating the bread. Well, you know what? This will fit well into my sermon. you don't know what I'm thinking, do you? Maybe it's a little scary. Appreciating the bread. We smell it, don't we? The food's cooking next door. We know that there's food available to us. But now I just changed my mind. I'm going to make you sit here and wait on it. Because now you're going to appreciate that food just a little bit more. Gary's ready to leave, I see. The thing is, we know that food is there waiting on us when we leave this room. It will be ready. But I'm going to encourage you to do something that I know a lot of Christians don't do anymore. That's a biblical practice that we can find in the Old Testament and the New Testament. I'm going to suggest that we try fasting. We are living in perhaps the richest nation of all times. I know that we're living in a time of depression, of a recession. But we are still, how many people went to bed hungry last night? How many people grew up wondering if you would ever have another meal, if that food would be on your table the next time that you went to sit down to eat? We don't know what it's like to be hungry. We don't know what it's like to rely on God to provide because we've got a job, we've got money. We don't have to worry about those things. I think that if we took some time and fasted from food, if we either went with a complete fast and had nothing but water to drink all day, perhaps for a period of days, that we would be able to connect better with God, and that we would be able to appreciate what God has given to us a little better. When we fast from food, we should take that time. But we normally would spend preparing the food, eating the food, cleaning up the plate afterward. Take that time and pray to God. Read your Bibles. Connect with God at a deeper level. Take time to reflect on all that God has given you, all that God has provided for you. And that will help you appreciate those things as well. Fasting will help you grow in your relationship with God. Fasting will help you appreciate what God has given to you. I will wrap it up early, don't worry. So as I end, I want to come back to this whole Atkins diet phenomenon that came about in the early 2000s. And you know what? This diet, where you didn't eat any bread, it worked. It worked because people wanted to lose weight, and they didn't eat the bread, and the weight just flew right off of them. And the reason that they lost weight was because they were depriving their bodies of something that they needed. We were designed by God to eat certain foods to give us the fuel that we need to live. Cows were designed to eat grass and hay. Squirrels were designed to eat nuts and berries. We as human beings were designed to eat from 5 different food groups. And if you remove one of those food groups from your diet, you will suffer. And losing weight at an unhealthy rate is a sign of your body suffering because you have deprived it of something that it needs. So I leave you today with a question. What are we filling ourselves with? Are we filling ourselves with things that will just take away our hunger pangs, things that will just fill up and allow us to get by until our next meal? Are we filling ourselves with something that will last forever, something that will endure beyond even this lifetime? I encourage you today to keep a balance between providing daily bread and the bread of life for all those that you find in need. Share all that you have. Share your daily bread and share the bread of life. And it is my prayer today that none will be hungry. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, thank you for providing for us. And we know that as stewards, that we are to provide for others as well. Help us, Lord, to be good stewards of daily bread and to be good stewards of the bread of life. You have entrusted us with this task. You have commissioned us to do so. Guide us, Lord. Help us along the way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please stand up for the benediction. Gracious and loving God, we just thank you for being with us this morning. May we go from this place sharing the bread that you have given to us, both daily bread and the bread of life. Help us to not be selfish. Help us to not be idolatrous. Help us to be worthy of being called Christians. Amen. In a few moments, we should be up and ready, so let's prepare.